Blog Talk Radio.
Well, here we go, ladies and gentlemen, across the airways. It's a Tuesday Throwdown live from Cleveland, Ohio. It's the American Sports History Podcast, hosted by a brother, a mentor, a friend, Peter Ray. Yours truly, Mark Mancini, producing this live out here in Los Angeles. Show goes by quick with these two guys. 347-205-9631. You can send your remarks. Also to MancinisPorts@yahoo.com. Peter will throw his out there. And if you want to catch the archive version on blogtalkradio.com/Mancini Sports, podcast platforms, wherever you subscribe to podcasts, powered now by Mancini Media. So more of him, less of me, as I lay that red carpet, put the podium in its place, hand off the mic. First of all, Peter, you're right, the famous three words. First of all, how are you? Second of all, how can people get a hold of you? And third of all, you two guys have built something here every 2 weeks on Tuesdays in Cleveland, my friend.
Hi, Mark. I'm doing well. I have a YouTube channel. It's my name, Peter J. Ray, R-E-A. You're absolutely right. Tonight's guest played in an NBA from 1980 to 1995 with the Seattle Supersonics, San Diego Clippers, L.A. Clippers, Dallas Mavericks, New York Knicks, and Utah Jazz. He's the author of two books, Standing Above the Crowd, Execute Your Game Plan to Become the Best You Can Be, and Celebrating Your Gift of Life, From the Verge of Suicide to a Life of Purpose and Joy. He has a podcast in the Mark Mancini Network every Saturday at 10 a.m. Pacific Time, Standing Above the Crowd. For the 19th time, welcome to the show, Mr. James Donaldson.
All right. Hey, Peter. Hey, good to be here with you and Mark and our listening audience. Fantastically beautiful day up here in the Pacific Northwest, and hope everybody's doing well around the country. So I'm good to go. Let's dive into it. This is great.
The last 2 weeks on your podcast, you had Don Casey for the second time, one of your NBA coaches, and Tom Satch Sanders, another NBA Hall of Famer, wow, who won 8 championships in 9 years in the 60s with the Boston Celtics. Do you want to talk about your podcast and your last two guests?
Well, thanks so much for that, Peter. Yes, the podcast is going great, and you know, I just kind of dial through my little mental Rolodex and figure out who I want to get on board and call them up and see if they can do it. And Seth Sanders and I, we worked together with the retired NBA player several years ago as board members and did a lot of good work with that. So Seth was a natural because, one, he's a legend and, you know, 8-time world champion with 0 losses, matter of fact. So 8-0. And just a fantastic resume he's put together. But more importantly, the great work he's doing after the game, just tutoring and mentoring the young guys, started up the NBA rookie orientation program back in the 80s or so and got that going for a lot of the young guys coming in. So that's the kind of guys I like having on board. And, of course, we talk basketball and, you know, with the Celtics playing in the finals, I thought Sash would be a natural for that, and he was. He hit it out of the ballpark. Don Casey, of course, a lot of the listeners remember back in probably March or so, he came on board the first time. A real, real sharp, keen basketball mind who follows this stuff tooth and nail. And so he was another great interview. So I just encourage the folks to tune on in with us 10 a.m. Pacific Standard Time. Standing Above the Crowd podcast, the same network that Peter's on with Mark Mancini broadcast. So we'll keep bringing it to you. And I'm so pleased to be back with you, Peter, because this is really one of the highlights of my month, a couple times a month on a Tuesday. And it's just great to be able to do this.
Yeah, it really is wonderful for me also. Randy from Warren, Ohio, his top 5 guards of all time: Earl Monroe, John Havlicek, Magic Johnson, Rolando Blackman, and Pete Maravich. Who are yours? This show I don't miss.
That's a good question. Wow, you know. Of course, Earl Monroe, he'd be one of my favorites. I told Stats that, you know, if I was putting together 5 guys to be in the foxhole with, it would be him and Earl Monroe as my 2 guards out there. And, of course, my legendary coaches, Lenny Wilkins, George Raveling. So, you know, great people to have in my life still. But, you know, looking back over my career, especially from 1980 to 1996, That was really, I think, the golden era of NBA basketball. And you got to start with Magic Johnson, and you know, Isaiah Thomas back then, and John Stockton. So many great players. You know, Clyde Drexler. Well, if you're shooting only going for point guards, it had to be maybe Kevin Johnson, who was fantastic with the Phoenix Suns throughout those years. And wow, let me think of another one. You know, Rod Strickland comes to mind. Stephon Marbury, even though he played a short time, he played the bulk of his career over in China and became legendary over there. So there's a lot of great point guards through the years, but those would be my top four or five that I can off the top of my head.
Adam from McKeesport, Pennsylvania. Hey, James, your show on Saturdays are unbelievable. Casey and Mancini, need to get them in the Italian Job movie number 2. Get Prosciutto to sponsor it.
You know, we hear that sentiment often when we put those two together. And and they're such good humored guys. They laugh with it. They know they've got the heavy accents and everything else, the East Coast stuff. But, you know, I think it really adds a certain element to our podcast when you have guys from different walks of life, different backgrounds, different accents on their voices. That really is what brings it to life, because this is all audio that we're doing. So we don't have the video. We're doing all audio, and it's really, really great to be able to change it up with all these different intonations and everything else.
David from Louisville, Kentucky, a show that cares every 2 weeks, not like our lousy government.
Oh, wow. Thank you so much, David. Yeah, I know. I'm probably feeling like most of you out there, feeling totally neglected by our government and just not taken care of and not listened to. But this is what we have to work with, and we just kind of suck it up and be tough and get through it all. But yeah, we do care. You know, Peter and I, we're men of faith. We profess our faith. We talk about it. We share it. And I think that's really what keeps us on that pathway of being something different, a different voice that people need to hear from time to time, that, you know, we're not in control. We're not in complete control. Matter of fact, I think as you live life, you understand pretty quickly how little control we actually have over things. But, you know, if God's with you, he will see you through. And so that's something for all of us to hang on to.
Yeah, that's right. The great reality that God does, our wonderful Heavenly Father does exist, and therefore everything's going to be okay.
Right.
Now, continuing with your book, Celebrating Your Gift of Life, we're in chapter 15, I'm Not a Victim. And you were talking about some terrible things that can happen to people. Being in some of these situations might also lead to mental health issues, including depression. That is completely understandable and a natural result of such a situation. However, the best path to good mental health is to try not to act like a victim. Rather than focusing on the situation and being a victim of it, we need to get appropriate professional help when going through adversities. If we develop the mindset that we will not be or remain a victim, we can make our lives improve much more quickly. It would have been so easy to blame my problems on my ex-wife, on the banks that would no longer give me a business loan, on the NBRPA and the NBA, on my accountant for my IRS woes, etc. But as long as I am able and willing to shoulder my share of the blame, I can make my way through a difficult situation. Once you take responsibility for your part in a situation, you're no longer a victim. You actually are empowering yourself so you can then take action to improve the situation. And once you begin to take action, the situation does improve. It may not happen overnight, but even slow progress is better than no progress. No progress is what you get when you stay stuck in a victim mentality.
Yes, that is so true. And back to my point just a little bit ago, you know, there's only so much that we can control. And we have to take a look at the man in the mirror when we're going through difficult times and try to sort out what part of this do I play in what I'm going through. Was it bad decisions? Was it erratic lifestyle choices that I made? Was it, you know, poor investments? What did I do? What did I play? And then be able to kind of sort that out from the overall picture and take account of that and say, okay, that's my portion of it. And, you know, it caused a cascading run of events after all of that. But let's take it back to, you know, the man in the mirror and say, wow, okay, this is what I'm responsible for. Forgive yourself for that. Learn your lesson and get back on the horse and keep on trying again. The key is don't ever, ever give up.
Yeah, the victim mentality, it seems people like the idea of, oh, it's not my fault, my life is terrible, which kind of makes them feel good, but then it also makes, then they feel, oh, they can't do anything. So I like how you mentioned being empowered by getting away from that, let's keep, have power, and let's work to change our lives, not just wallow in misery and say, oh, I'm a victim, and so forth.
Right.
Garrett from Marlboro, Massachusetts, that last listener is right on. Doesn't the government work for the people, not the other way around? God is my rock.
You know, and that's what we have to really lean on to. You know, if we put our faith in the people, people are invariably going to let us down at some point, even if it's your immediate family. At some point, they're going to let you down. People are fallible. They're human. And they're going to fall short so many times. And so that's why it's so important to put your faith in something greater than people that are around you. We put way too much faith in our elected officials. And, you know, and I tried to be an elected official. I ran for office 3 times over the last 10, 12 years. I never quite made it across the finish line. But, you know, I got a chance to be up close and be on the debate stage and really state my case. But, again, I wanted to represent the people. It wasn't about my agenda. But, you know, people get into this idol worship, and they just feel like, wow, this person will lead us to the promised land. And I think looking at our current administration, a lot of people are having second thoughts and saying, wow, wish we had a do-over, but we don't. We just have to play it through. 2022 is the midterms coming up in November, and then 24 would be another presidential election. So we'll have a choice. We'll have a chance to make our voices heard. We just have to make sure we get them heard.
Joey from Bucks County, Pennsylvania. Hey, James, did you ever get a technical thrown out of a game? You seem like a mild-mannered individual.
No, I had my share of technicals and fights and all kinds of things. Wow, I don't know if it's up on YouTube or not, but I remember I had a consecutive playing streak of, wow, closing in on 700 games or something like that. I was way up there. And I got in that fight with Mark West from the Phoenix Suns. So he and I were duking it out and swinging and throwing punches. And I got suspended and, you know, broke my consecutive streak. We made our case to the NBA. I was with the Dallas Mavericks at the time, and we pleaded and said, no, it's just one of those things, and they wouldn't have it. So, but, oh, yeah, and then also back in the day, you know, we would get technicals for hanging on the rim. I mean, you know, Daryl Dawkins, of course, was infamous for breaking the backboards and things, but if you hung up there too long, you would get a technical, and it usually, you know, $250 or so. Back then, and so now it might be, you know, 10 times that for doing that kind of thing. But they don't call that nearly as much as they used to. So, but I've had my share. My nickname was Dukes because I was not afraid to put up my Dukes when I was playing out there and defending all my guys on the team. I was the enforcer guy.
Ann from Huntington Beach. Hi, Peter and James. Your show seems like a gift from up above. A lot of people need to hear this message here in Cleveland.
Thank you so much, Ann. Yeah, I think so, not just Cleveland, but I think all over the country, all over the world. You know, we are just a couple guys who are just talking sports a little bit, talking about mental health issues that are going on in this country and are plaguing so many of our youth especially. And so, you know, we want to talk about what's current and what's important. Sports. You know, we all can go and Google last night's game results from the finals and see all the stats and everything else and give our little 2 cents worth. But, you know, that's easy to do. Let's talk about the real thing, you know, something that really that matters and hopefully is helping some folks out there listening as well. So I really appreciate that.
Holly from Bellingham, Washington. Hi, fellas. The minute we give up on a dream, They should ask themselves why they even started. Keep up the great work. What a genuine show, character and integrity.
Yes. Thank you so much. And so, yeah, again, it just goes back to my point. I think we need more shows like this, more good news, uplifting, positive, kind of informative shows, because as soon as you turn on cable news or any of the networks, you're just bombarded by negativity left and right. I have to go on my on-demand side of my cable box and, you know, pull up old comedies from, you know, 20, 30 years ago, where you can just laugh and have fun, and it was funny back then. Most of those shows would be canceled now, you know, culturally canceled, because you can't make that kind of show anymore. But, you know, just get away from everyday life's trials and tribulations and the negativity that surrounds us. You have to. So I encourage everybody, just take your mental health break and go outside, take a walk, go to the park, enjoy your kids, your family. Just you have to take that break every day, just for 20, 30, 40 minutes, and you'll feel so much better.
Continuing with your book, Celebrating Your Gift of Life, Chapter 16, Learning Not to Act Needy. When you're going through depression or other troubles, you want some sympathy and help from others, and it's important to reach out to them for help. However, it's easy at such times to give up your own power and expect someone else to solve all your problems. At such times, you can hurt yourself further by acting too needy and driving other people away. Unfortunately, I've been in that situation and had to learn how not to overdo it and give in to being needy. In February 2018, at the NBA All-Star Weekend in Los Angeles, I had a meeting with two high-level executives from the NBA. Both came to the NBRPA Board of Directors meeting, as they do annually. I purposely arrived a few minutes early before the other board members arrived to see if I could grab a few minutes alone with both visitors to share with them how desperate I was feeling. Remember, this happened in the midst of a dark period I was going through. I arranged to sit next to both of them, and it was just us and one or two others in the room for about 10 minutes. I showed one of the executives a slip of paper on which I had written three items: anxiety, depression, suicidal ideations. I was scared, and he could see I was scared. I didn't think I was going to make it through the weekend. The thought of a former NBA player, me, committing suicide during All-Star Weekend with a worldwide global audience was all I could think of. I didn't want to be alone in my hotel room. The conversation was mainly between me and one of the executives, since the other executive was semi-engaged in another conversation and being pulled in several directions at once. The executive I was speaking to expressed concern for my state and shared a similar situation he had dealt with recently with another person going through the same thing. He said he would relate our discussion to his colleagues so that they would rally whatever resources they could to help me.
Yes, so true. And, you know, I think we have to keep in mind that other people have lives and their busyness and their issues going on at the same time. So you have to be able to have that balancing act. You know, do what you can do on your own as much as possible. But then also don't be afraid to reach out and talk to other folks and at least let them know that you're going through some difficult times. Those two NBA executives, I mean, as a matter of fact, one was Adam Silver, you know, and so I took it straight to the top, and I said, hey, Commissioner Silver, hey, I don't know if I'm going to make it through this weekend. And of course, he put me off in his deputy, his second in command or whatever, and, you know, and I felt like, wow, maybe I overstepped my boundaries. I know he's a busy guy, and, you know, I just had to go back and reassess. And for my own mental well-being, I actually left the All-Star Weekend early. I left on a Saturday morning. It usually doesn't conclude until Sunday evening, just so I can get out of there and get to a safer place. So do what you can do to take care of you, because if you're not here to, you know, make it through, then it's all for naught. Every day I look out, and this is springtime, and I look and see how truly blessed I am to still be here every single day.
Taylor from Flint, Michigan. Sports today, big money. But James, in your day, the players were much better. Look at my Pistons. Since the bad boy days, we have not been very good. Do you have an extra grocery bag I can wear so nobody notices me at the next game I go to?
Well, you know, this is what Chad Sanders and I were talking about. You know, yes, we can see that today's players are better athletes, running and jumping and doing all the great athletic things they do, but they have a lesser basketball IQ in the fundamentals of the game. And so that's what's missing. You know, the game is resorted now to just coming down and jacking up three-pointers. And if they go in, great, you win. If they don't go in, you look terrible and you lose. And that's kind of what it comes down to now. The big man game has virtually disappeared. There's no more big guys who are playing with their back to the basket who you have to kick the ball into. The defense collapses on them, and then, you know, you kick it back out for a wide-open two-pointer or three-pointer. So the game has really changed. And I'm sorry, and the exorbitant ticket prices, and ticket prices are going up next year, the NBA announced. So as long as there's a market for it and people keep lining up to fill the arenas, we get what we get, unfortunately.
Continuing with your book, during the board meeting, ironically, the topic arose of some of the work the NBA was starting to do to support current players with mental health issues. Earlier in the season, two current players, Kevin Love and DeMar DeRozan, had spoken up about the mental health challenges they were dealing with. The NBA realized mental health support was something the players really needed. Being a retired player, I realized the NBA's primary concern was for its current players, not those already put out to pasture. However, I was glad to have the NBA's ear, if only for a moment. The executive I was speaking to realized how serious my situation was and told me to call him anytime I needed to talk to someone. Of course, I wore my welcome out quickly since he was a very busy person, but I was desperate and scared. He and I agreed to meet the next morning over coffee, which gave me the sense that he really cared. I told him I didn't feel good about being away from my home in Seattle and by myself in my hotel room because I was afraid I might do something to harm myself. I told him I would feel better if I went back to Seattle to a more comfortable environment. So I left Saturday morning. Normally, All-Star Weekend begins on Thursday and goes through Sunday evening. Once I got home, I pestered him over and over with phone calls. I needed him or anyone from the NBA family to help me in my desperate state. I kept hoping for a paid player appearance or some minimal part-time thing to help me get back on my feet, but nothing came of all of that. I fell further into depression.
Yes. Yeah, and this is what I was just talking about. I mean, I felt like I really wore my welcome out. I was a bother. I was a nuisance. But I was so glad I at least let them know what I was going through. You know, I went home to Seattle that weekend, and on Monday morning, I got news from the bank that they closed down my business. They froze all my checking accounts and all my credit card transactions and everything. So essentially, we were out of business, and I had to face my whole crew on Monday morning and basically give them their last paychecks and have them clean out their lockers. I was in the midst of a heavy, heavy depression. And somehow I was able to at least hold it together. But I think even my team I had with my business could tell that something was really going wrong with me. And I just hung in there as best I could. That NBA executive stopped taking my calls, never returned a call after a while, never got me any help that I was hoping for. And so that's kind of my disappointment with all of this. And this is why earlier in our talk here, putting our faith in the people so much that we just get disappointed inevitably is something that really, when you're dealing with mental health issues, it's really going to just rock your world. And so I kept my faith. I kept going to church every Sunday. I kept God in my life. And even through those very, very dark days during February 2018, I was finally able to make it through all of that, and just so glad I did. So, folks, you know, put your faith where it counts with God above, and don't put too much faith in the people, especially if they are not sincere in helping you out.
Yeah, that's true. You know, we do need people, and people can help us, but they are limited. But God is that's what's so wonderful, and God, there's unlimited help from God, and that's what's so important. Our wonderful Heavenly Father, Rick from St. Augustine, Florida. Best names: Slick Watts, Spud Webb, Gar Hurd, World Be Free, Jim Jackson, Otis Thorpe, Tom Borowinkle. Can you add to my list?
Wow. You know, what comes to mind is all the great nicknames Daryl Dawkins had. Remember that? Chocolate Thunder and the way that he named all his great dunks and things. He was a real character. But, you know, I don't know. I'm trying to think. Pistol Pete, of course, comes to mind. You know, a lot of great nicknames. Earl the Pearl, Monroe, we had on the show a couple weeks ago. There were a lot of great guys. Clyde Frazier. So they're all coming to mind now that I'm thinking about it. And, you know, that's what makes the game great, is it's so much more personal and up close than football, for instance, or baseball. I mean, if you're lucky enough to sit down in the lower portion of the arena or on the front or second row, these guys are larger than life. They come running at you. They might, you know, run you over in your front row seat. But that's what the game's all about, because you can see the expressions. You can see the sweat flying off of them. You can see the muscles rippling. Just a beautiful game to watch up close. And I love it. And, yeah, all the great names that came along with it, even added to all that colorful. And don't forget Dr. J. Dr. J even added more to the colorful flair of the NBA.
Continuing with your book, when I got back to Seattle, I finally had to pull the plug on my long-running business. The decision was made for me by my business creditors. Poof, there went my income, my identity, and my sense of accomplishment. There went everything. I was hurting and in a very bad place. My NBA contact quit taking my calls, and poof, there went my sense of NBA family support. I don't blame them. I was being overly needy. My point is, when you have someone to support you, don't push them away with being overly needy. Plus, I had to understand the NBA has other concerns than my mental well-being. They are about making money and providing entertainment for the fans. It's not that they don't care, but that I can't expect them to change their mission for me. I had to learn to toughen up and take responsibility for my problems, not expect others to fix them for me. I had to call all of my employees that weekend to tell them our business was closing and arrange to meet with them on Monday morning as we cleaned out our workplace. It was one of the hardest times I've ever been through. Of course, I couldn't let the employees know what was going on with me. I had always been the strong in the 28 years we had all been together. So with a stiff upper lip, I held it together somehow as I told them all how much I appreciated them and how truly sorry I was that it was all coming to an end. Wow, that was tough. It was best I didn't act needy with my employees, though. Over time, as I've discussed earlier in this book, I learned how to build up a support group so I had several people to turn to and not one person to dump everything on and become overly needy with. People want to help you, but they also have their own lives and can't drop everything for you. Once you understand that and have realistic expectations about the kind of help you can get from people, you will have a better chance of recovering from depression and other obstacles to your well-being.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Peter, hey, I swear we're not looking at the same notes or anything, but a lot of things that I go off into, you know, this is how real all that was that I went through. It's still top of mind. I still remember writing the book and putting those words down on paper and just living it and reliving it over and over again. But I made it through, and that's really the essence of all of this. So, people, you never know what life's journey is going to show you, what's going to pop up, you know, good, bad, lightness or darkness. You never really know. And so you have to just be on top of your game as best you can and have a handful of friends nearby that you can call and talk to and just really confide in them truthfully and honestly of exactly what you're going through. That's the way you'll make it through no matter what we're going through. And for heaven's sake, please don't ever, ever give up.
Gary from Omaha, Nebraska. Major League Baseball should learn from the excitement of college baseball, same as basketball. Nate Tiny Archibald, Sweet Lou Whitaker, Dawkins, Chocolate Thunder. The time has flown by. James, do you have any final words for our audience tonight?
You know, I just want to say I love being part of this podcast. I love our listening audience, all the great questions that come in. And I think we're picking up an audience more and more every time we do this. So I just say, hey, you guys all hang in there. We're going through very difficult times as a country, as a society. The economy, gas is $5, $6 a gallon all over the country. And we're going into the summer holiday, summer traveling season. It's going to be tough. And, you know, nothing's going to change anytime soon. So just bear down, hang in there, stay strong, and talk to other folks in your life if you need somebody to talk to. You'll make it through just as I did. So peace be with you all, and I love every one of you.
What a wonderful, another wonderful, wonderful show with Mr. James Donaldson. Next week we'll have Craig Elo back for the second time, former NBA player. And 2 weeks from tonight, James Donaldson again. Sam McDowell is having health problems. He has surgery a week from tonight for cancer in his throat. So God bless Sam McDowell. And Mark Mancini is getting me in touch with Bill North, former Major League Baseball player, won 2 World Series with the Oakland A's. So we're going to try to get him on as a guest. Dear listener, may the road rise to meet you. May the wind beat your back. May the sun shine warm upon your face and rains fall soft upon your fields. And until we meet again, may God hold you in the palm of his hand. Good night, everybody. Thanks again, Mr. James Donaldson.
Thank you. Be well. God bless.
God bless us all.